In January, a ribbon cutting was held in Monticello, Kentucky, for the first prototype of an energy-efficient residence designed at the University of Kentucky. Later, UK President Capiluto described that project on this program as one of the university's most significant accomplishments of this academic year. So here to tell us more about the project is David Biaggi, director of UK's School of Architecture. I'm Tom Goodell. Welcome to UK Perspectives, Dr. Biaggi.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
What was the impetus for this project, and how did the School of Architecture get involved in it?
Well, it started out of the Solar Decathlon, which is a project that the Department of Energy of the United States developed to get students to think about energy-efficient homes using solar power. Universities from all over the world apply. They select 20. 2 years ago was our first entry, and we were the highest-placed team for a first-time entry and came in second in the visitors' poll of ones they like to visit. It sat out on the main lawn in front of the main building for a while.
Now, you had several partners in this project, but I find it most interesting that you decided to work with houseboat manufacturers to actually build the homes. So why houseboats?
Well, it came out of a discussion between the College of Design, the Center for Applied Energy, and the Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation. Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation, headed by Jerry Rickett, is out of London, Kentucky, and they do projects in that part of the country trying to stimulate the economy. There were 11 houseboat plants down there, of which all but two of them have been mothballed. The workers at these particular plants are highly skilled because most houseboats are considered a luxury item, so the quality of construction that goes into them required very skilled labor. With that, we were trying to have a discussion of how do you take the advanced thinking that's in a solar decathlon project and make it applicable and affordable. At the same time, the people from Kentucky Highlands identified this notion that there are people who are going bankrupt because of the energy costs. Their energy ranges would be from $100 a month to $500 a month. Well, if you're in an affordable house, your energy cost bankrupts you. Once that bankrupts you because you can't afford a $500 payment, your electricity gets turned off. You have to pay what you owe, you have to pay in advance, and you have to pay a new metering cost. So people couldn't afford the cost of even having it back turned back on. So from that, we as designers saw it as a opportunity to use the skills of the students and the faculty research that we have, capacity that we have here, to look at this problem and see if we could come up with, as we targeted, a $100,000 house that operated on a dollar a day energy cost and whether we could actually do that. And that was kind of the conundrum that we created to let students investigate.
And were you able to get into that dollar a day range with the house that you designed?
With the house that we designed, we got down to about $1.50 a day. The way one could think about it is that if you have a thermos and you put a heated drink or soup in it or a cool drink, you'd want it to stay there. And so that was kind of the conceptual framework for how to design an energy-efficient house, was to have it deal mainly with the thermal protection from the inside to the out versus trying to mechanically heat and cool the space.
Now, as I recall from the Solar Decathlon project, of course, heating and air conditioning aren't the only things that were evaluated in that process. There was also the cost of cleaning and drying clothes and preparing food.
Right.
So is that also part of your design?
The energy costs that we're trying to get to included your necessities, but not plug loads. So plug loads are considered your computers, your TVs, all the things that are basically out of the control of being able to evaluate and vary from person to person or family to family who occupies the house. The house ended up being a little over 1,000 square feet, and it's a two-bedroom, one-bath house.
Is the design of, because 1,000 square feet seems to me is about the same size as the Solar Decathlon house.
That's correct.
So is the design somewhat similar?
It's similar in the fact that the way it's used is that inventive areas are looked for storage, for how to multitask a space, how to make it feel bigger than it actually is with you know, view axes and the openness of the room. So those types of lessons were translated. Along with the project, we have an endowed professorship from the Kentucky Housing Corporation, and we brought in an expert in modular housing, Joe Tanney, out of New York, and he worked with us, too, to work through the process of looking for efficiencies of living, meaning looking at what is the requirements of a living room, how do you use a kitchen efficiently, how would a bathroom work. So really getting into the nitty-gritty of those particular components and making them efficient, but efficient doesn't mean not including making them have a design intent or at the end of the day, making the product or the life have an aspirational quality, meaning you're not just putting people in a box and trying to, as I say, suck the life out of it by making it so energy efficient that, you know, you wouldn't want to live there. So lifestyle was a major component of it.
And you spoke about you compared it to a thermos a little while ago.
Right.
And I've been through the solar house that was entered in the decathlon competition, and you never feel like you're in a thermos. And I assume that carries over into the design of these energy efficient homes as well.
That is true because, you know, one of the main components of to get to the energy target that we were hoping for, you have to use a lot of passive strategies. And the passive strategies are orientation, windows, both letting the light in when it needs to come in and shading it in, you know, the summer so you're not getting heat gain. So you're receiving the heat gain during the winter months, but you're blocking it during the summer months. And that's all through where placements of windows relative to orientation.
And the solar home uses some very sophisticated technology to do that. Is that affordable for a home like this?
These particular homes do not include solar panels. They are equipped and designed to get to net zero, meaning that they would be energy efficient if they did have solar panels or other mechanical systems put on the houses. The way we looked at the project in dealing with the students is we created a studio where they looked at product lines, and then the $100,000 house that operates on a dollar a day is one of a series of products, like going to buy a car where you could buy different accessories to that car. Mm-hmm. So the base house that the students all designed, a studio, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom product line, of which the two bedroom one is the one that was the $100,000 a day house.
Politicians talk a lot, especially in an election year, about job creation. But one of the things that impressed me about this project is that it does actually create jobs. So talk a little bit about that.
What we tried to do is look at that industry and the model that it has. And as I indicated before, they're highly skilled craftsmen. So our idea was to create new product lines. So not only have we designed this energy-efficient house, we're looking at modular schools, dental clinics, multifamily housing, a series of different product lines that could be made in the plants with the skilled labor that exists in those particular areas. So it is basically taken one plant, which was down to, I think, 12 people, and they now have up to 65 people working at that plant right at the moment.
Now, the first house was dedicated at that ribbon cutting back
right.
in January. Has that house been sold?
That house has been sold. The second one has been dedicated, and they're both sold, and they're both being the first one has another month before it's occupied because we're doing testing to make sure that they meet the standards that we designed them to, and to do some post-occupancy evaluation. The second one is currently occupied, and the financial model for them to do that is when one sells, the new one's built. And so they're hoping to get more traction with it.
What kind of feedback, if any, have you gotten from the buyer of that second house?
The main feedback is that it doesn't appear to be an energy efficient home. It appears to be a home that they enjoy living in. It's spacious and of a really high quality of construction.
So you're saying it really is energy efficient, but they don't feel like they're having to, strain to meet that dollar a day goal?
That's correct.
Are there photos of the house online or designs that we can look at?
Yes, you can go to the College of Design's website, and there's a whole section on the design and other models that we've been working on.
Will we see homes like this for sale in Lexington anytime soon?
We have been looking for multiple opportunities. Like, as I was indicating, the notion of modular construction as a way of working and identifying efficiencies, particularly when it can incorporate some of the aspects of energy efficiency that are still slightly priced out of people's range. I mean, if you look at your mortgage plus your energy bill and said that was how much my utility bill, and that's how much I have a month to spend, if you actually were able to project that or a bank would accept that rating, you could have more, pay more towards a mortgage if you knew your energy bill was going to be stable. So with that, the initial cost, which is a little higher than one could get a standard, say, modular house, the front-end cost is a little bit more, but the overall cost over, say, a 15- or 30-year mortgage is significantly less. So it's trying to make that equation work. So you will be seeing these energy efficiencies impact housing, and it is across the country right now and in Kentucky also. One of the interesting things that has occurred because of these evaluations is the houseboats they are building, they've been able to reduce the engine sizes that they've had to put on the houseboats because of the energy efficiencies they've learned to help make a better product out of their houseboats and sell more of those.
Now, we recently saw quite a bit of damage from tornadoes in this region. Is this kind of housing something that could help, could be used as emergency housing as well as private dwellings?
We have, students have taken that on as a project, both emergency housing here for, say, like Haiti. We've looked at containerizing them. One of the major advantages of the way the construction is working is we call it pod and panel, meaning that you have a kitchen, bathroom, utility pod that can be made, and then the walls are panelized, and they're called SIPS panels, but you could think of them more or less like an Oreo cookie where there's two sheets of plywood are the cookie part, and then the insulation is the white filling. And so that's what the panels are made up, and those are typically significantly stronger in storms. So if you look at replacing older housing stock, and particularly the type of housing stock that gets hit and damaged significantly by tornadoes.
The traditional mobile home.
The traditional mobile home. If you could put a family in one of these, then you have a stronger structure, more permanent structure.
Now, what's the next step in this project? I mean, you were talking about larger homes with more bedrooms. You were talking about modular schools. Is that the direction you're going in, or is there some other new path that you didn't anticipate?
Well, it's one of the values of working with students is they continually come up with an amazing degree of ideas. So in terms of product line, there's a whole host of it. One of the things that's come out of this is that 75 to 80% of the products used in the project are from a Kentucky supply chain. So not only do they create jobs, they also are using Kentucky products. The students are looking at, and this faculty that are working along with them, are also trying to identify new products that can be made in Kentucky by suppliers that would also increase the value of their product they may be making now. So if for example, a simple one is a window company could be making a window, but if they could make a more energy efficient window, they would have a better product to add to their line to sell for this particular thing. There's material research in terms of just basic products that go in the house from any different direction of material research, of new lines of investigations.
Yeah, I remember from the solar home, the furniture itself was quite remarkable and quite revolutionary. There were chairs that hung on walls and tables that could become be used for other purposes. And it was quite fascinating. So you're using some of those kinds of ideas in this project?
That's correct. the nice thing about working with students, again, is that you can prototype something. We have facilities at the college that allow you to test out, make immediate, rapid 3D printed models and test out different options and see whether they can solve more than one problem at a time. And what we're trying to do is look at the project holistically as opposed to, you know, just solving for the energy cost. Mm-hmm. You know, it's energy costs, the life cycle, the quality of life that we're trying to encompass across that the students are looking at to impact.
Yeah, and from what you're saying, it's not just energy efficiency, but it's also space efficiency and efficiency of the use of the materials inside the house.
That's correct.
So it's multiple layers.
Multiple layers, trying to find suppliers within a close region so you reduce the footprint of where the materials are coming in from. Like the hardwood floors are all harvested from renewable trees in the area, then are put into the house. So there's a whole supply chain of both a supply chain from products to looking at their impact on the environment in their selection of the product used in the house.
Well, thank you. This is a fascinating project and one I hope you'll come back and give us an update on as you go through the different stages of it.
I'd be delighted to.
Our guest has been David Biagi, Director of the School of Architecture at the University of Kentucky. Our complete UK Perspectives interview with Dr. Biagi is available at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.